expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Yeah.
It's a little different every time.
Come on, guys, wake up.
Come on, wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom, shaka, laka, laka, boom. Who let the dogs out?
There you go.
Okay.
There we go.
There we go. The dogs have been let out, and we're back at it. So, today is Sunday, June 6th.
Yeah, the dogs are out, all right.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio, where the hits just keep coming. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. I have a graduate degree in the University of Hard Knocks, and with results as my major. Now, I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, the ball of this energy, the immovable object, an unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes. She has been named the Terminator lately and has more BS. Has she heard more BS?
And seen more BS.
Than,
and it keeps on coming.
She's more BS than a CNN news brief.
I think you better back that one up a little bit. That
she's
last
seen.
Set.
She's
oh,
seen
okay.
more BS. That's
okay.
what I said. No,
okay.
You just misunderstood
right.
me.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10-3 black belt in RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And then, last but not least, the guardian of the magic button, the library and the bumper, the time band and the brakes, key weaponry specialist and producer extraordinaire, Travis!
Ooh, yeah.
Boom, shakalaka,
boom, shakalaka.
All right, there you go.
Don't forget moderator of the chat room.
Oh, well,
oh yeah,
yeah,
moderator
right.
of the chat room.
No, jeez, troll slayer.
Gosh, man, what a troll morning. Slayer. Already.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in right now. Troll
already.
Slayer. Slayer of trolls.
Yeah, gee whiz.
Yeah, how crazy was that last week? Good grief.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
We're still deleting messages from last week.
Well, these guys are screwed up. You know.
What?
Maybe we should call him Troll Slayer. Travis Troll Slayer.
Troll Slayer.
TT.
Like dynamite.
TNT dynamite. Okay.
Because I'm TNT dynamite.
Wow.
Yeah, girl. Oh, wow.
Wow. We need
hey, we can get into this, man. We'll just get electric guitar.
I was going to say, you know, you need to pull up Angus on the AC/DC deal there. And here we go.
They're coming to take you away.
Do we have enough? Ha ha, hee ho. In the little white men in the little white coats. I haven't heard that one for a while. Oh boy. So before we get into it, I want to talk about the recall. But before we do that, do you have any announcements that we need to make?
I've got several announcements I need to make. First of all, don't forget. Do you know what today is?
It is the 6th of June, which would be D-Day.
Yeah, so let's not forget that. 77 years ago, then men hit those beaches.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I have a song that we're going to play in honor of that.
Okay, so moving along, on Monday, June 14th, the American Legion is going to do a retired flag collection event, you know, so if you have old flags, ragged old flags that need to be retired, you can take it to them. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Sportsman's Warehouse. and that is 1659 Hilltop Drive, Reading. And don't forget, also on that day is actual Flag Day, and it will be the 246th birthday of the Army on June 14th. And this has all been sponsored by Shasta American Legion Post 197. And then on June 12th, they're doing the food truck hub in the park at 1552 Placer Street. So it's going to be over by the Veterans Hall. And so that I was told to let you guys know that. The food truck will have all kinds of different stuff for families, cupcakes, and everything. And it's compliments of the veterans organizations in the area. If you want any more information, give them a call at 530-351-1580.
Very good.
Yeah. And now we go to the recall.
I have a little mixed emotion on that Army thing, but.
Hey, 246 years.
Look what it's become.
Yeah, I've looked at that one up close and personal, so.
Well, look at all of them. I mean, let's.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay, so when I want to talk about the recall just a little bit. And just a note about the recall yesterday. You know, I want to talk about all the great people and what they've done and continue to do. This is a thing of beauty. No matter what the outcome of the recall, this organization and their leadership is innovative and smart. They will be a force to be reckoned with in this county from now on. It is truly a grassroots movement made up of mothers, fathers, teachers, businessmen and women, across the board. They are coming from all walks of life to join this resurrection of liberty. I am so proud of them, I do not have the words. The opposition has tried everything in their power to discredit, distort, divide, and derail these true Americans from their common goal of restoring common sense to government. The legalized plunder and self-serving corruption of our supposed servants has been laid bare and revealed by the never-ending state of an emergency and involvement of these true patriots. Now, you know, Kevin Kiley posted a letter. I want to go to that a little real quick here about Newsom declares permanent state of an emergency. Okay. Yesterday, Newsom, Gavin, Gruesome, Mussolini, spun a giant wheel of fortune in a scene that brought cartoon parodies out of his vaccine lottery to life. Then in an instant, he went from Pat Sajak to Julius Caesar. We are still in a state of emergency, Newsom declared. Chillingly, he added that the emergency remains in effect after June 15th because COVID has not been vanished. Since cases may never equal zero, this can only mean one thing, an unending dictatorship in the Roman mold. Newsom's press office then lied about what he said, prompting sharp rebukes from the Sacramento Bee, LA Times, NPR, Politico, and other journalists, which, you know, I'm going to argue that point, whether they're journalists or not, who aren't quite ready to succumb to the 1984 style Ministry of Truth. So, going back to my memo, the haters are going to hate and project on this movement their brainwashed vision that gives all power over the people to the government. Pick any topic they champion, climate change, the homeless, taxes. The solution is always and in all cases to hand more power to whatever government agency that frightens them the most. The media and academia have been complicit in this programming of these educated fools. Programmed with half-truths and outright lies, intellectual honesty is now beyond their grasp, and ability to think and discern for themselves has evaporated like a formatted flash drive. Their parrot communist propaganda, seeing a utopia on a flight to Never Neverland, and like children, refuse to take a hard look at reality and what truly happens after the pixie dust loses its potency. They are dangerous because they see themselves as saviors of the world even while they destroy it. Look at how destructive their movement has been while they point to everyone else's behavior. The end justifies the means, which would be total control and no freedom. But this time is different because of their leadership, the ones who refuse to follow the law. The law needs to apply equally to all, including those in high office. The recall is not a fix, it is only a start. The fix is, for our system to work, good people must participate in this experiment of self-government. For evil to prosper, all that is required is good men do nothing. So my heart, my fortune, and my honor is with these good men and women, these patriots that have stepped into the breach, and I will do whatever is in my power to speed them along. It is the business of little minds to shrink, but those whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves of his conduct will pursue his principles unto death. That's the memo. So,
okay.
Should I drop the mic now? I wrote that this morning because, I think I was, you know, inspired, divinely inspired when I wrote it, just because I feel like, you know, we've got to keep talking about this, getting it out there. And, you know, I'm so proud of these guys in the recall movement, and what they've done, what they're doing. They're not going to give up. This is going to, you know, happen. And like I say, I can start naming names, but I'm not going to because there's too many.
There's so many. There are so many of them that are involved in this movement, you know, that are putting in long hours. And they're doing everything they possibly can, working with everybody and trying to do what's right constitutionally and for the whole community, for everybody. They look at everybody. They don't just look at one side and go, okay, here we go, you know.
Well, here's the thing. You know, you hear the other side, if you will, saying that we're not the only voices in town and we're not the only ones that they should pay attention to. And that's absolutely correct. But here's the defining item in that picture is that they are trying to impose their values on everybody else. You wear a mask or you have to follow the rules of this declared emergency. Exactly, or else. They don't have any room in their picture for anybody else's opinion or freedom. I don't care if they wear a mask, wear it all day long. If you get sick or it happens to you, that you made your choice. You made your choice. My choice is to not get vaccinated. My choice is to not wear the mask. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody else with that choice. So, you know, I will stay away from you if you're afraid of me. But that does not mean that you can completely gut the Constitution and all of our rights because you are afraid of, in my opinion, what is propaganda coming out of the Chinese Communist Party. And you know something? It can even get more serious than that. If you look at some of the reports on what's happening in these adverse reactions with these vaccines, people are dying. And it takes a while for it to catch up. Now, think about this for a second. You've got Bill Gates, who, you know, by his own admission, wants to depopulate. You've got the Chinese Communist who want to take over America. So if you put together a virus that started killing people, masking people, taking away their communists, or taking away their rights and imposing communists, getting rid of the Constitution, sinking the economy all at the same time, could you think of a better scenario than that? So while you're out there worrying about your masks and staying inside your house and wondering, you know, how much more fear you need to take before you can't take it anymore, maybe you ought to look at the big picture a little bit. Maybe you ought to look at the data. Maybe you ought to quit listening to the spoon-fed media that's been, you know, giving you pablum on an issue without data, with lies and complete half-truths.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They're going on a lot of it. It's not the truth. You know, everybody has a right to their opinion. Everybody has a right to do what they want to do. But you can't knock us because we're setting the truth out there.
Right.
You know, it comes down to that.
And it's not your truth or my truth. It's the truth. Facts do matter.
When you look
at all this data, you're starting to come to this conclusion. And I'm seeing some pretty scary stuff lately about what the virus does to you over the long haul with conjunction with the vaccines.
Well, and you look, too. You had a renowned epidemiologist and the guy who discovered AIDS who ended up writing Fauci in these emails saying how the genetic markers do not look like they ended up mutating naturally. Why is it that the bat coronavirus can't infect bats? Why is that?
Well, because it didn't come from bats. It came from China. Gee, I mean, talk about a vindication on Trump.
Well, and so this is the type of thing that we need to look at. And I can only assume that BuzzFeed got in front of this because somebody else probably already had a FOIA also out to be able to get these same emails, and they needed to be able to spend damage control. Because what you see is all of these articles that are coming out from these left-wing organizations are praising Fauci for his handling of this. However, that's all starting to come crashing down as more and more people realize
it's bullcrap.
Yeah. And why is Fauci one of the guys who's in charge of this when he's also one of the guys that's implicated in basically helping to fund this?
Yeah, he couldn't have an axe to grind. He's not, like, closely tied to Bill Gates. He wasn't funding the Wuhan lab in China and receiving money on both ends. Highest paid guy in the United States, as far as in the force. He's got no axe to grind. Oh, no, wait a minute. He's all of that.
Well, and let's do a thought exercise here for a minute. So in China, recently, based upon the renewed interest and looking into where this virus actually originated from, be it the wet market or the Wuhan laboratory, as we all know, China isn't really the freest place to speak, and Chinese media companies
they wouldn't control the narrative, would they?
Chinese media companies there generally have to go through, you know, China to be able to speak. So it's very interesting that one of the top shows over there in China just started saying that they need to prepare for nuclear war should we actually go and try to look into the origins of this virus and where it actually came out of, saying that they need to start stockpiling their warheads and need to be able to set up their long-range missiles. Huh. Does that really sound like somebody who's an innocent party that says, if you look into this, I'll kill you?
Well, yeah, that would be them.
Also, remember, they came up with the vaccine, quote, unquote, before they had the virus.
I guess the chat.
How does that work? How do you come up with the cure before you have the
disease? And once again, this kind of brings me back to something we talked about 8 months ago on the show. It was Event 201. You can still look it up. And it was a pandemic exercise that took place on October 19th, 2019. And if the reports are to be believed now, based upon the earliest known symptoms of people going in and having problems, the doctors at the Wuhan lab having coronavirus-type symptoms were in November. So they were preparing for an outbreak of a novel coronavirus as of one month before that took place.
Did you see the clip from Fauci, like in 2017, saying that Trump was going to have an outbreak of some kind of disease during his administration?
I did. However, it's one of those things to where I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that, because it could just be based upon the timeline and looking back 20 years. There is an outbreak that ends up happening as we get more and more people and less restrictions on what's going on.
Here's where you lose me. He's funding the research in Wuhan on the lab that's going to give the outbreak.
Well, and there's definitely that. We kind of got to.
That's what I'm saying about the vaccine before. I mean, he was the one that was involved in that beforehand, and he's the one that's benefiting it and manufacturing
Let's go back a little bit here, and I just want to bring up a couple of things before we move on and to where we're going to go. So we've got a couple of big people that have died from adverse reactions. Joel Kallman, Oracle software developer who designed CDC vaccine tracking systems, is dead in 2 months after taking the RNA vaccine. He's not an old guy. He's a young, healthy-looking sort of guy. And then we've got another one here, which is Dr. Rajendra Kapil, which I'd probably change my name, a giant in infectious disease medicine, died after receiving 2 doses of Pfizer's RNA vax. COVID-19 was reported as the cause of death. Now, we could go on and on and on and on and on with these adverse reactions that we're seeing. They've been hiding the adverse reactions and downplaying the adverse reactions, which is the MO of the mainstream media morons. And so, you know, at some point in time, I got to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, I mean, if this thing was proven effective, and if this thing, I mean, I've already had it, so my immune system says I'm golden anyway. So why would I go get a vaccination?
Well, and in fact, from what I've seen, too, is if you've already had COVID and you get the vaccination, your chances from...
are going up that you're going to get it again now.
Well, it's not just that you're going to have side effects, is what they were saying. So some doctors are actually saying, hey, you might not want to get the vaccination if you've already had COVID because you're going to end up having worse symptoms from getting the COVID vaccine.
On top of all that... my spidey sense starts to go up when you're, hey, we'll give you free tickets to the fair if you get vaccinated. Hey, we'll get you into the $115 million lottery if you get vaccinated.
How about this one? Guns, trucks, and scholarships. West Virginia announces prizes for COVID-19 vaccine lottery. I mean,
I just can't
make this crap up.
I gotta be a little
Orwellian
suspicious.
This sounds.
Yeah,
hey, buddy, come on over here, and I'll give you this nice new truck. Just let me stab you with this needle.
Yeah. I'm gonna,
bribery? No, there's no bribery going on.
Well, not just that, but I'm gonna stab you with this needle that has no track record of working, has not been tested in clinical trials. You can't sue the manufacturer because they're under the emergency order. So if anything goes wrong, you're screwed. At what point in time do you go, well, you know, I think I'll wait and see.
And you know what? They don't get to collect your price because you have side effects and died.
Or you can go, I wanted to go to the fair really bad this year. What?
Wow. So check this out. So West Virginia's giveaway will include a $1.588 million grand prize, the second prize of $588,000, and multiple full scholarships to any higher education institution in the state, but also custom outfitted trucks, lifetime hunting and fishing licenses, as well as hunting rifles and hunting shotguns. Like,
wow.
I thought it was illegal to bait the animals. Come on now.
I mean,
come on, Mr. Hunter. I got a shotgun for
you. Well,
ya.
It tells you what they think of you. They think you're just a troglodyte with a knuckle-dragging affinity towards killing everything that you see.
Going to say that when I was a kid, we had a thing called Stranger Danger. Someone offered me candy from their van.
That's true.
You don't take it.
Don't take
yeah.
it.
You
run home.
You run home.
No, you could be. You could end up on a milk carton somewhere. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. You run home if they approach you because it's a stranger danger.
I mean, we used to have.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
It really does.
So, we used to have block parents.
Now they don't have milk cartons. Now you just end up on a Facebook page or something.
Epstein's plane. Oh, sorry, that went dark fast.
Yeah, it all depends on who you are. You don't get anything.
Well, I mean. You know, haven't we seen some... Who got connected to Epstein's plane lately? I forget who it was. There's been so many.
Now there's so many.
Yeah, everybody. Who's not? And,
oh, I'm sorry. It was Bill Gates.
Why don't we hear more about what's going on with that investigation? It kind of seems like after he died, his left-hand henchman lady over here, mega mind-looking lady over here, turning around and flying all over the world, getting all these kids on planes... why are we not doing an investigation still?
Because they've actually moved the trial date out into, I think it's November now, on Ghislaine Maxwell. And then it's just interesting, lately Bill Gates is getting divorced and his wife is throwing, I would say leverage out into the media about his ties to Epstein's island. Do you think there might be a bigger settlement in the future? So let's go ahead and play this musical clip before. It's about 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and play it. This is for D-Day veterans and for Americans and those patriots out there walking the streets on the recall this week.
Here we go.
Still the greatest country on the face of the earth, the home of the brave and the land of the free. A lot of young men and women shed their blood around the world and proudly gave their lives for you and me. I stand for the flag, I kneel at the altar, I pray. I hope for our children, I fight for our freedom.
the first responders answering the call. I believe that all lives matter, whether black, white, or brown. And I believe in equal justice for all. I stand for the flag, I kneel at the altar. I pray for our nation that it never falters. I hope for our children, I fight for our freedom. And I ain't gonna bow to any man. I stand. Down tall. If we don't stand united, divided we will fall. I stand.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Yeah, Linda likes that song a lot. So I played it. All right. Very good. Okay, now, where are we? So,
well, on the topic of vaccines and kind of the history in dealing with these things, let's go ahead and talk about some of the actual systemic racism that took place in the past And think about why we'd want to trust a government that's been known to be lying to us this entire time. I'd like to remind people about the medical abuses against people of color in the U.S. from compulsory coercive sterilization campaigns from the 1910 to 1960s, including the sterilization of a third of all Puerto Rican mothers between the ages of 20 and 49 years old by 1965 to unsafe contraceptives marketed to poor women of color in the 1970s to 1990s.
See, this is the problem I have with the left, is that we set up a government that was supposed to restrain government power from ever having too much power. That's why they divided it into three branches to have checks and balances, and that's why they limited its power and divided it up between the states and the federal government, because they knew. And they knew since the beginning of governments even being formed that government always becomes man's worst enemy because of the people that are in power. For whatever reason, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. Their self-interest becomes the primary, the prime directive over everybody else's interest. And so that's why they set up a constitution that had limited government, and it was ruled by law, not by men. So that we all had to follow the same rules. It was all supposed to be equal law across the board that applied to everyone. That way, you would have, if somebody was getting out of hand, the other side of the equation would say, you're getting out of hand, we need to put you in check and follow the law. So it was a way to bind all men down with the chains of a constitution. What they want to do is keep stoking more and more power into the hands of a few, with the idea that these guys are so benevolent, they're such good people, that even though they have to kill a few million people to get to the point where we're, at the utopian vision, that at that point, men's temperament is going to change, and it's all just going to be better.
Well, and this is the scariest thing to me on this, is that you can have a tyrant who does what he wants for his own benefit and his own goodwill for what he wants. However, you can have somebody that believes in an ideology who's a tyrant, and that's much more scary.
Well, I think that's the same thing.
Well, the one guy, he's just going to do what he wants. The other person's going to do what he wants, and he's going to sleep like a baby at night thinking he's doing God's work.
Well, it's kind of like a narcissist or a psychopath.
Well, and to that point, a New York City shrink tells Yale audience she fantasizes about shooting white people in the head. A New York City-based psychiatrist told an audience at Yale School of Medicine in April that she had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way.
See, it's like the old song by Dylan. I can't remember the exact lyrics, but be careful you don't become what you say you hate the most. And that's what this is really about. And what they don't get, because a lot of these are young kids, they've been indoctrinated by the media, by the school, by wherever. It's like they talk about climate change, for example. Oh, we got to change everything because we're all going to be dead in 12 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. What they don't remember or fail to remember or don't see clearly, let's go back to Al Gore and his Inconvenient Truth, for example. And that's been, 30 something years ago to now or whatever? And he was telling us that we were going to die back then. And the only answer is always give us more power, put it in a world governing body, the hands of those benevolent angels out in Basel's or someplace in Switzerland or maybe the Bohemian Grove guys down there worshiping the big owl. But they always want to give the power and put it in the hands of somebody that they think is going to do the right thing. But the problem is they're being used as rubes. And always, historically, what happens is by the time these guys, if they have good intentions, do wake up, then you have things that happen like in Cambodia and the killing fields. Mm-hmm. Anybody that wakes up, they exterminate. Because it was never about what they thought it was about in the first place. It was always about consolidating power into the hands of the few that want to run everything at the expense of everyone.
Well, and this brings me to what's been going on with these cyber hacks. As we know, I took some time last week, and I've just thought about a lot of things over these last 2 weeks.
And well, you should.
Well, here's what's interesting.
Just kidding.
In that time, I've noticed that these hacks are going against private businesses.
Right.
There was only one hack that ended up affecting a subway system to where they were just watching and monitoring it, and the government shut that down pretty quick.
Right.
Nothing has actually happened on this, but let's go back to the SolarWinds hack that nobody really is talking about anymore that still is pervasive within our system, whereby our electrical grid got hacked, our nuclear grid got hacked. We had our grids for basically the Pentagon and everybody else got hacked. Now, let's take into account, maybe this is just a trial run of what they're planning coming up. And the next thing on it also is in regards to the Great Reset. What we're seeing right now is we're seeing the government that is incentivizing, quote-unquote, people to go back to work by literally trying to set up programs to pay people a $1,000 incentive bonus to go back to work, at the same time as they still have these unemployment benefits to the tune of about $16 an hour not to go to work. They increased SNAP benefits last month to the tune of 40%, further incentivizing people not to go back to work. And then you can still collect your Medi-Cal and the rest of that as well, and that's already paid for. Why would you go back to work? I'm looking online yesterday, and you can see local jobs around here that are paying $14 an hour to start when you're making $16 an hour on unemployment.
And, you know, the economy's going gangbusters too, right?
Well, and we're printing off money to go ahead and further elevate these markets. We already are set up in 2022 to go ahead and screw the people who are in the unions and make it to where 39.8% of their 401ks are going to be dedicated to buying up American bonds. But don't worry, the government's going to ensure that those 6% of your rise in that 401k, they'll go ahead and make sure that's covered, not accounting for hyperinflation, or as Wells Fargo likes to call it, transitory hyperinflation.
I feel so much better now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, transitory. Yeah, they're finally coming out and saying, well, I don't know about transitory, you know what I mean? You know, the thing is that the economy's not doing better. The economy's in free fall. And the real deal is that it's not going to do any better until we, number one, stop printing money. Number two, everybody goes back to work and starts producing something. You know?
And this is the other thing. So I have friends, I keep pretty close tabs as far as the markets go based upon wholesalers that I know. So I know a lot of folks that actually sell to companies and sell to the people that get the product before anybody else does. A lot of these places, they're completely out.
Right.
They can't get you what you need because they don't have enough people to work there. So you've got all these dollar bills that are extra dollar bills that are going out there chasing the same amount of product. Look around. There's no graphics cards. There's no chips for cars. There's no PS4s or 5s or anything
that
you can get.
What's a PS4, 5, or 6?
PlayStation or Xbox or any of the rest of these guys.
That's kind
of
why I wouldn't know that.
But this is the interesting thing.
Dude, really?
I don't even know what it is. You know,
so you go back and you look at the
gamers.
Here's my litmus test on whether on computer hardware, all that stuff, can I make money? That's the first litmus test whether I'm using it or not. If I can't make money with it, then I really don't want to participate.
People actually do online on YouTube. They make lots of money.
Well, okay, I've heard this story from my kids, and I ask them, how many?
Actually, quite a few.
What's your odds?
Pretty good, depending on how much time you put into it.
And what are the odds that you will fail?
About the same as any other business. What are your odds that you'll fail on that?
I don't believe that. I believe that...
Well, it's just a business.
It's like, okay, I'll give you another example. No, it's like basketball. Okay, if you make it to the NBA, you're going to make a ton of money. How many people are going to make it to the NBA?
Though. You look at the people that are out there, and it's based upon how you end up actually going about it. So, for instance, a lot of the people that are successful, they talk. People enjoy their stuff. They end up creating merchandise. The people that aren't successful, the people that don't really go anywhere, they get on there and they do a video here, they do a video there, but they don't ever put any real effort into it. Basically, it's not like the NBA because the NBA has, 174 players? YouTube has millions upon millions of people who are on it making creations of videos and things like that.
Right. My question is for either one, though. After a few years, how many of them still have money? NBA players, football players? How many in 10 years has any money to talk about?
Well, that's the thing, too. The world we live in,
yeah.
Kids love just watching YouTube all day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people have 2 or 3 or 4 million subscribers, and they're getting that many views per video. And that's insane to me.
Well, okay, so, and what are we actually producing?
Well, what are we producing right now? It's the same type of thing. Basically, you can either have content that is out there and ideas and a good time. I mean, it's either a feel-good thing or you can do it for political reasons or otherwise. Like most of my videos, it's just for fun. I'm not interested in making money. Like on my Rumble channel, I've made 89 cents since its creation. Yes!
Hey.
Some but that's actually, not gaming. That's not gaming.
I'm ready to retire.
Some gamers actually get paid by the game manufacturers themselves.
That's true. You got to be pretty up there.
Saying is the odds are not good. They're not in your favor. And you're probably not going to be successful. And I would have a backup plan.
Well, there's that. But here's the other side of things. The world that we're moving into with the Great Reset and the rest of it. Have you guys ever seen the movie Ready Player One?
I think I have, yeah.
Ready Player One is kind of this dystopian future, but unfortunately it looks like where we're heading, where you have this virtual reality machine. And this kid, he's poor, but he ends up winning the lottery and gets one of these VR machines.
Right.
And in this world, you basically can live in VR, and that's what this future was predicting, is that generally you will. Well, with what we're seeing going on right now, America the Beautiful project that's going on right now, 30 by 30, 50 by 50. So we're talking about taking and making conserves of 30% of America by 2030 and 50% of America by 2050. That's already on the books. They're already planning that out. So if you can't go into any of these areas and you can't go out in nature or otherwise, where are you going to be? You're going to be in VR. And congratulations with Ethereum and with the rest of these. You can now have NFTs to where you can literally purchase your virtual reality property in virtual reality. And you own it. It's yours. You can purchase your art. You can purchase your table.
Do you know what's going to happen? The guy that knows how to produce a carrot is going to be making more money than everybody else.
Well, and this is the interesting thing. Moving forwards, and you end up seeing that they're trying to make it more and more difficult to get beef. They're talking about more synthetic beef, more of these Beyond Meat products or the Wonder Burger or all the rest of these things that are more soy-based, plant-based meat alternatives, and you got people like Bill Gates that are coming out saying you're going to have one burger a month. Now look at this most recent hack. That most recent hack actually shut down for 2 days 1/4 of the entire world's meat production for beef and 1/5 of the entire world's meat production for pork. They process 29,000 head of cattle a day, and it shut it down.
Well, that's why Thomas Jefferson envisioned an agrarian society where we're all self-reliant. You had your little plot of land. You grow your own food. That's where I think we're headed, because otherwise you're dependent. But I'm with Jimmy. I think we should go out for a scholarship, man. I mean,
not gonna work.
I mean, I got the
there's
old,
too many things against you on that.
I've been
one.
Working on my crossover move, and I used to be able to do a finger layup, and I think if I worked on that, I might make it to a tryout.
Well, it's interesting because the world is becoming more decentralized, and even these banking systems. So. Take this, for instance, Binance. Binance now recently issued it to where you can have a Visa credit or debit card that you actually can run all your bills through and pay with cryptocurrency. And now the banks are all freaking out trying to get on the cryptocurrency bandwagon because they're being left behind. Why, if I can give you a loan and it's all on a smart contract that I set up on my phone digitally, why do I need to go to a bank and sign paperwork and do all the rest of this?
Well, you're absolutely correct because they can't control the cryptocurrency. That's why they're trying to get in on the deal. But do you think
shuts down the banks.
No, but what they're going to try to do, and I can almost guarantee it, is they're going to try to outlaw all the cryptocurrencies except theirs. That's what they're going to try to do. Can they do it? I don't think they can.
I don't think they can, and furthermore, one of the things about it is that's what's so important about a decentralized network is it takes you away from those places. So now we're seeing the IRS is including it on their tax sheets.
Oh, yeah.
But you have China that's trying to pass it so they get involved with crypto, and I'm not sure how they're going to, propose it to people, but it's already passing. You know, they have parliaments or whatever over there, and it's past two stages.
I'm going to go volunteer for a system where the government controls all the currency and supply and amounts and regulates everything so that they can pretty much buy every. Oh, wait a minute. That's where we're already at.
Yeah. Well, and here's what's interesting on this is China, one, they go through and they ban it. And the ban was kind of a FUD ban. It was like a whatever.
What's a FUD ban? Is that like, is that like an Elmer FUD ban? It's like, wait a minute.
Pretty much. And so they say you can't use it to exchange on our currencies, and you can't have the federal institutions trade your crypto for our yen.
Which means it's now worthless.
Well, not really, because you basically can go to any other institution. They just
anybody who will trade in it, you'll be fine with, as long as they have something to trade besides the cryptos.
Well, you can still go to different places, and you can still proxy out to any of these different nations. But here's what's most interesting to me. China, all of this time, has been selling the GPUs directly to their residents. They've been GPU mining all of this time, collecting all of this currency. About 1 week before we ended up seeing this crash within crypto, or this reset.
I think it's a bounce up. I mean, I think we're going to see a bounce back.
Well, here's what's interesting. 1 week prior to that, you had all these big organizations like Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, saying that they're going to start establishing cryptocurrency mm-hmm. portfolios for all of their biggest customers at a time when there's no liquidity in the market. Magically, next week, there's all kinds of liquidity in the market, and they're buying up all this cryptocurrency.
I think what they know.
Oh, does this sound familiar?
I think what the end of the day is this. Everybody knows that the market is going to crash and it's way overinflated, anybody with a half a brain. So the money has to run somewhere. It has to go into something.
Well, and would it go into, I don't know, property right now? Probably not, because now you got retroactive taxes on any properties over $500,000.
Well, it depends on where the number one, it depends on what jurisdiction you're in. But I see your point. But what I'm saying is that it's a flee out of the market more than a flee, because what happens is when it starts to crash and the margins start getting called, what happens is it's a mass exodus into whatever is available at that time. And so, cryptos have been the recipient of that, but also gold and silver worldwide. And the mint last week came out and said that there's a global silver shortage, for example. So what I'm saying is there's, at the end of the day, when this thing starts to tumble, in my opinion, there's going to be very few places that you can run to without having have the ability to actually run into it without it being gone, bought up, being sold to somebody else who's already been in it, and you're too late to the market. So there's a lot of variables here, but that's what's going on is that the treasuries are going to become worthless and the stocks are going to become worthless in general on the companies that are not solvent.
Well, what's interesting to me, too, though, is during this first portion of it, I don't see that anywhere's safe. I don't see that crypto's safe. I don't see that gold or silver are particularly safe, at least in the beginning. It will be probably later on as we start returning to normalcy. And full disclosure, not financial advice to anybody. I am in Bitcoin, ETH, and Ravencoin. So I do have those, but I think that as the stock market ends up crashing down and as the housing market ends up crashing down, people will end up pulling out of cryptocurrency to pay the bills and things like that they need to pay.
Absolutely.
So you're going to end up seeing the reset there, and it's basically a time to where you're going to have most of the people who are the common average guy gets completely wiped out before it ends up going back up. And
that's
going to
be probably
that's probably going to be the
scenario, and that's why people should be ready to be self-sufficient on a large-scale degree as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And
the reason why I mentioned gold and silver, I mean, the Bible puts it best. A bag of gold will buy a loaf of bread. Well, what does that indicate? It's crappy times out there, man. Like, I can't eat gold, but I can eat bread. I'll give you my bag of gold for a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but you can go to other examples as well. You know, I mean, it depends on what's going on as far as production, what's available, all kinds of things. I mean, in Germany, during the hyperinflation, you could buy a whole city block with 24 ounces of gold. Mm-hmm. So it depends on – it's a wealth transfer more than it is anything else.
Well, when you look at what takes place, did you know that – you're probably not going to get this, but World of Warcraft. Travis, what's up, my dude?
I'm not going to get it.
Okay, so check this out. So World of Warcraft.
And we're talking about video games now. We're not talking about...
we are, but it's still finances.
Okay, there's
relatable.
Lessons everywhere, I guess.
You, You will find this very humorous. So World of Warcraft has gold that you can purchase or you can end up getting it. When Venezuela crashed and their dollar became worthless, people were literally trading in World of Warcraft gold for real world goods.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
I'm numb.
Virtual currency for real life things.
And that was like that. We're talking prior to the rise of Bitcoin and all the rest of that. It was already something that the future on these things, a lot of people don't realize, like ETH, for instance. ETH is going to permeate every portion of our lives coming very soon. Because what ETH enables you to do is you have these tokens, and these tokens can be converted into smart contracts. So I can write a contract to you that says you owe me $100,000 back for this money that I'm giving you at an interest rate of 5%, and it's a variable interest rate. So I can then go in my phone and I can change our contract and you'll get an update. Well, this is all then on a chain. It's much faster than any of these other systems, and it's already starting to be integrated in with all of these banking
systems. Here's my one question. How do you enforce it?
It's already enforced with on the network.
I know, but how do you enforce the contract? What if the guy says, I'm not going to pay?
You can basically just start turning around and having it auto-pay you. You can set your contract
assuming
up.
He has the currency to pay you.
Yeah, assuming that he ends up getting that.
So
but
what
if
he can't
in,
pay? What if he can't pay you? Do you have any idea?
Well, then in that case, you're screwed. But that's the same thing if they don't
I'm just asking questions. I'm trying to get the
but they're going to start implementing that for property as well.
Well,
you can see that coming down that it's all going to be.
It's for property. It's for everything. It's for art. It's for digital items. I mean, a lot of people don't understand, but there's these mobile applications out there that are far more profitable than any video game ever was. You have people that are spending $100, $200 a week on mobile application games to get these little characters that are all digital things. And it's an addiction. It's a lottery. It's all the rest of these things that are the bad portions of society that are acting on those things, the gamification of a lottery.
See, I don't have that much problem with that, but everything is moderation is what I'm saying. Is if all you can do is sit in front of a computer and someone says, hey, go out and butter your bread, and then your arms are, you know, too weak to butter your bread, that's the problem. You have to have an overall education that it not just gets you in front of a computer. You know, you might be able to, you might want to be able to have other things in your bag, like, you know, maybe how to start a garden or how to actually work physically. And that kind of thing as well.
Well, yeah, but it's these two separate worlds here right now. I mean,
but they're all the same world. That's
they
the
are,
point.
But the thing about it is that the
see,
future
see
of
that,
this
see that, that's a cyber world contained in a real world. So you can be lost in cyber world while you're still in the real world, and the real world will affect you no matter what your cyber world is doing.
Here's my takeaway on this, though. This cyber world, these two worlds are not going to coexist. They really can't. Because when you end up looking forwards, and
I got to call BS on that one because...
No. Here,
maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
Let me draw it out a little bit. Right. So with this world that's coming up, the whole idea of self-servience and handling everything for yourself...
No, it's not. You don't have to handle everything.
Well, like
yourself.
Growing food and having all the rest of this.
You have to have the ability to be self-reliant. That doesn't mean everything is about self-reliance.
Yes, but when you look at what they're doing right now, restricting water for farmers to 50 gallons a day.
Right.
That kind of takes away your self-reliance ability if you don't have water to be able to grow the food.
Not even close.
Well,
Now what you're talking about is overreach of government, and now you have bigger fish to fry. Now the cyber world gets thrown out the window, and now you have to fight for your rights.
It is, but when you look at the cyber world and what they're doing, and when you just look at the horizon, did you know that by 2040 they're talking about all driverless FedEx vehicles? Basically, they have a commercial of this thing that's rolling down the street.
Yeah, I saw that.
But the cyber world, what is going to end up happening is a lot of your businesses and people aren't going to have jobs or anything because it's going to be cyber world.
Exactly.
So have a lot of that's going to go by the wayside if we don't watch what happens.
Have you ever watched Wall-E? Have you ever watched Wall-E?
Yeah, it's that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Except that's a cartoon.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herron. Joe Manchin draws a line in the sand. The key Democratic senator says he will not vote for the largest overhaul of U.S. election law in at least a generation. Manchin is defying his party and the White House and virtually guaranteeing the failure of the bill after a near-party-line approval in the House. Manchin writes in a home state newspaper, quote, voting and election reform that's done in a partisan manner will deepen divisions. The Justice Department will no longer secretly obtain reporters' records during leak investigations.
It's a policy shift that abandons a practice denounced by news organizations and press freedom groups. Just last month, President Biden had said it was simply wrong to seize journalists' records and that he would not permit the Justice Department to continue the practice. Though Mr. Biden's comments in an interview were not immediately accompanied by any change in policy, a pair of statements from the White House and Justice Department Saturday signaled an official turnabout from that investigative tactic that has persisted for years. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
The airline industry pressing a campaign to allow more international travel.
Airlines are looking for leaders of the wealthy G7 countries to take steps next week toward easing border restrictions and allowing more international travel. The airline industry's main trade group, the International Air Transport Association, says governments should use screening measures such as testing passengers for the virus rather than imposing quarantines and other restrictions. The group says studies show travelers pose little risk of spreading COVID-19.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The Supreme Court is being asked to decide whether the government can continue to require men only and not women to register for the draft when they turn 18. The justices could say as early as tomorrow whether they will hear that case. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you heard? Rodents are taking over. According to various news articles, recent COVID-19-related disruptions have caused abnormal behavior in rodents, making them become more aggressive. Don't let your home or business be invaded with a disease-carrying rodent infestation. Keep them away with Plug-In Pest Free. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. Using the active wiring in your home or business, Plug-In Pest Free goes to work, keeping rodents and pests away the more humane way without using toxic poisons or other harsh pesticides. Just plug it in. It's that simple. Now that's fair dinkum. Stop the infestation and order yours today at gopestfree.com and receive a free hand sanitizer pen with every order using promo code PEN. That's gopestfree.com, promo code PEN. GoPestFree.com, promo code PEN. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget.
U.S. traffic deaths are up 7% over last year.
That's the biggest increase in 13 years, even though people drove fewer miles due to the pandemic. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration blamed the increase on drivers taking more risks on sparsely traveled roads by speeding, failing to wear seatbelts, or driving while impaired by drugs or alcohol. The agency released preliminary numbers showing an estimated 38,680 people died in traffic crashes last year. The increase came even though the number of miles traveled by vehicle fell 13% from 2019. John Scott reporting.
Experts have recovered the data recorder of a fired, ravaged ship carrying chemicals that is slowly sinking off Sri Lanka's capital as salvage crews stand by to head off a possible environmental disaster. The Singapore-flagged MV Express Pearl started sinking last week. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The probe continues after two hospitals in Florida were apparently hacked.
Experts say the computer systems of the medical facilities showed signs of unusual activity and shut down systems to protect patient information. A spokesman for the University of Florida Health Central Florida system does not believe any patient nor personnel records were compromised. He says information technology teams from the University of Florida continue to investigate. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 6th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including singer-songwriter Gary U.S. Bonds. He's 82 years old today. Senator Marsha Blackburn, the Republican of Tennessee, is 69. International Tennis Hall of Famer Bjorn Borg has 65 candles on his cake. Comedian Colin Quinn is 62, actor Paul Giamatti, 54. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But your pro-choice abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. Trigger warnings used to be on TV for seizures, and now they're everywhere to protect millennials' feelings. He, she, his, him, hers, them, they. Screw a pronoun, cause everyone's a retard these days. I hear him preaching at the protest that hatred's the problem, but hating straight men, white folks, and Christians is common. Coca-Cola telling people they should be less white. They preach intolerance, but if you disagree, they fight. There's a race war here, elections based on fear. Black lives only matter once every 4 years. Soldiers died for this country, and every one of us benefits. Give welfare to the bums and forget about the veterans. Black folks and white folks divided by the news, but we are all the same. We are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Because honestly,
we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snow. Whoa. You can make us see it your way. No way. Gasoline and propane. More fake.
It makes you wonder, are these guys listening to this crap? No, I don't mean that, you know, in a bad way, but I mean, are the liberals hearing this stuff?
Well, I mean, they don't care. It's basically like, I made a TikTok the other day to where I was trying to go for an Oscar, an Emmy, basically, but I was putting it forwards like the laws that these Democrats were making for having gun control and you having to present identification for guns is making black people and minorities not be able to get the firearms to protect themselves from the police. And it's just like the people are so deluded that they think that, oh, well, we should have all kinds of gun control and identification for that, but not for voting. Well, if it's wrong for voting because it's racist and discriminatory, the Second Amendment is number two. Your voting rights are a little bit further down the list.
It's like I said, it's like I said in my opening statement. I mean, they've lost touch with the ability to discern between, you know, their ideological arguments and reality. They don't understand that the practical application of what they're trying to implement is going to be bad for everybody, including themselves.
The problem that I see is it's tribal on both sides now, because basically nowadays it's like if you're wearing a mask, it's like gang colors. If you're wearing a Trump hat, it's like gang colors. I see you, I hate you. You see me, you hate me. Instead of just realizing that we're all Americans, we can have different ideas
and be able to come together. That's the divide and conquer, but the problem is you can't reason with these people on the other side because there is no reasoning in a lot of ways. I mean, now I'm not talking about just Democrats or people who are leaning left. I'm talking about these hardcore BLM, Antifa guys that are the real troublemakers, and they're probably only about 10, 15, 20%. But
I don't even think they're that much.
Maybe you might be right, but you can't reason with them
at all. I think you could set a number at about 7%, because that's about how many people are still supporting BLM right now.
Well, I mean, after the leadership kind of took off with bought a bunch of houses.
Yes, I was going to say, it depends on are they still getting paid
mind
or not.
Mind you now, not just bought a bunch of houses, million-dollar houses on the beach, because, you know, global warming, the water's going to rise, and that's going to be a great insurance payout.
Hey, this is for your own good, bro. Hey, hey, if we don't take and live in a style that is comfortable, how can we plan all of these riotous events in other cities? You know, I mean, what's going to happen?
How can we take care of you if we're not living in
style? You
know,
so donate, give it to the cause, because the more comfortable I am, the better planner I am.
Well, it's like these people. The box that you buy your surgical mask in literally says on the back of it, will not protect you against viruses.
Well, here's a tell.
Yet you walk around thinking that it's protecting you from viruses.
Okay, here's a tell. We're going to be running down too many roads here. But here's the thing. Did you know? I mean, it's like Governor Newsom, before this whole thing, buys, you know, that makes a deal with China for $1.2 billion in masks. And I mean, that's not because he saw that this thing was going to go on for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's.
What about the hospitals and stuff that were ordered to
and a lot
box
of them that weren't
up their masks and send to China so then they can be bought back to come
did
back
you see
to
the Did you see the little Chinese factories
where
you got the kids standing in the middle of a dirt floor, you know, making masks? Anyway, so let's – okay, so you got 2 minutes. You're going to wrap up the cyber thing.
All right, so the cyber thing we were talking about.
And then we're going to move on.
We're going to move on. It's on. Okay. All right, so in the break, what we were discussing a little bit over it, and you actually came to agree with me, is that these two worlds do not coexist side by side.
I will not admit that I agreed with you on anything at this point.
Basically, what you're going to end up seeing is you're going to end up seeing these smart cities with smart contracts on your water meter, on your TV, on everything, and they're going to be able to shut off your contracts if you don't do what they tell you to.
Yeah, who's they? You know, I mean, we
the government,
yeah,
the private-public partnerships. I mean, that's basically where this is headed. And it's why, while I like it, I really don't support things like Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm more into Monero and things like that that are more fungible like cash but not traceable for those very reasons. If they can cut you off, you're cut off. So the idea and the premise behind it is you're either going to end up rejecting all of this society and all of this technology and living basically an Amish lifestyle out there in the wilderness, or you're going to be in one of these smart cities completely controlled. And that's what we were seeing in that 2016 article that I ended up doing and reading here on the program a while ago. If you want to see it,
maybe that's why Shasta County's different, because we're not buying into any of that crap.
Well, and that's the truth. But that in that article from 2016, they said that you would basically live in Shanties in the middle of nowhere. And, of course, we can make it better than Shanties, but we probably will end up rejecting a society that has complete control over us in the large part. Now, places like San Francisco and L.A., they're going to be all about it. They're tearing out the roads. They're going through and $10 billion. Let's remove the freeways because they're racist. Well, what does that do? That makes it to where you're trapped in your smart city. Okay, I'm wrapped up.
All right. We're moving on. My head hurts.
Hey, I kept to my 2 minutes.
You did good. You were just about right on time. All right, so what I want to talk about is something called fraud vitiatis. I guess I just how to pronounce it. Vitiatis everything. Okay.
Vitiatis,
maybe? Vitiatis. I don't speak Latin, so I'm going to say
vitiatis. Requiescat in pace.
All right, there. I was going to say Curly Bill, but I'm thinking, what was the other guy's name? The gunfighter in Tombstone? There's Curly Bill, and then who was his big fast gun sidekick that Doc Holliday faced?
I don't know. Everybody only remembers Doc Holliday, but those guys.
Doc Holliday killed him at the end, and I can't remember his name. Johnny Ringo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Johnny Ringo. He was when they were speaking Latin across the card table there. Or whatever.
I only know that phrase from Assassin's Creed. It just means rest in peace.
Okay, never mind. Okay, so back to reality. Fraud vitias.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
It's spelled...
Maybe we shouldn't speak Latin on here.
It's spelled V-I-T-I-A-T-E-S, so I don't know how
it
you pronounce
it. It sure is, isn't it?
Anyway, what this is about is... And you should go look this up. I was kind of going over this thing, and I ran across some of this information yesterday, and it's, and I'm looking at, Cornell Law School. This isn't some, far out website out there that's just branded a bunch of crap. This is a Legal Information Institute, which is Cornell Law School, which, you know, I've learned a lot of stuff from Cornell over the years. And, United States versus Throckmorton. And what this talks about is that, you know, we got another chat. And we got a stupid idiot in the chat room trolling us. I mean,
yeah, Jolly Newbie.
Jolly Newbie. I mean, it's completely unrelated, and he's off on his stupid tangent about anything and everything that bashes anybody that he disagrees with. So
not no more. I just banned him.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I think he ran out of oxygen.
Yeah, so I'm just saying. That's ridiculous, these idiots. So anyway, the reason I want to talk about this is that it's an interesting court decision. This same court ruling, okay, so this is a ruling where fraud basically null and voids everything, and this applies to U.S. elections as well. And I don't think this has been overturned or changed or anything, so I think it's still current law, but I'm not positive of that. But I want to bring it up just for the interest of discussion, is that, and I'll post some of this on my Facebook here, and So what it talks about is that if they find in any election that there's overwhelming fraud or criminality, it completely negates the election, and the person who is found out to have committed or been involved in or the recipient of the fraud, criminality, and so forth to steal the election, it completely negates the results. He has no recount. He can't challenge it. And boom, he's gone, and the other guy steps in. Now, in light of all the stuff that's been going on, would you be shocked to find out that this could be applied in the current situation? I wouldn't.
No.
I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm not even saying that that's what they're doing. But I'm saying this is a legal concept, and there is a court precedence on this. And could it be applied under the current circumstances, if under these audits that they have in Arizona and now going into Georgia and all these other places, that if they find out that it was overwhelmingly fraudulent voting?
Now, this would have to come from the Supreme Court? Is that
no,
what that,
no, 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 no. This is just a Supreme Court decision.
So who who is them?
Well,
they would be overlooking it.
Well, it could be any court.
Any court.
You know. Now, could it be challenged all the way to Supreme Court? Maybe.
Well, yeah.
And then they would have the option to decide whether they want to hear the case or not. They could say, we don't want to hear the case because current law has already addressed this. And boom, it doesn't get heard.
Well, and my problem with it is we've already seen the Supreme Court that had the opportunity to take up a lot of these cases,
sure,
and they didn't. And
sure,
so I think until there's actually enough public outcry, which unfortunately I think we're probably going to be seeing in about 3 months when things get really, really bad.
Well, it's getting pretty ugly, and this is not going to go away. I mean, you know, this forensic audit that's been going on for a month in Arizona is not going to go away, and they're now talking about expanding it to all candidates in that state. Now, they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't finding things in this forensic audit. If they find enough fraudulent votes, either through invalid ballots, fraudulent ballots, I mean, they've been examining the creases, and there's a whole, we could go into that for days and days and days.
Stuff.
A lot of things going on. But if it comes out through this forensic audit that it was stolen, and I'm going to challenge, you know, anybody that, you know, why don't we ever hear from the mainstream media, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all of these pundits and these Democratic operatives, why don't they ever talk about the 81 million votes that Biden got? You don't they don't want to talk about anything. If you even bring it up, you're, you know, racist, you're this, you're that, you're an idiot, whatever it is. You're not even going to bring it up. They do it on the media. Anybody that starts even, they shut them down. Because if you have to talk about 81 million votes, you also have to talk about and do the homework to find out that that's more than there are registered voters when you tally up everything between all the votes.
Well, and this is an interesting concept, too, because, you know, average cheap attorneys, just to get a cheap retainer for them, like $500 an attorney, right? So why is it that when they were actually going through and doing this audit, they sent 100 attorneys to try to stop it, and not 100 of them had a brain cell to rub together to be able to stop it?
Well, again, if the judge says no and they don't want to hear it, or they're afraid, or they're getting intimidated, I mean, there could be a lot of things.
They can't just stop it because they want to stop it.
Well, All I'm saying
is... Well, the point being on it is basically you have these people who clearly know the law, clearly know that they don't have the right to go and stop something that's trying to be transparent to prove to people that, hey, this is a fair election. You and me, everybody in this room, most of our listeners, we would accept it if they proved that it's 100% legitimate.
Right.
I would do that in a heartbeat. However, the problem is if you're going to kick out the poll watchers, if you're going to turn around and make it to where none of these lawsuits can go through and you never get justice or an answer, there's going to be a lot of people that feel a little bit butthurt.
But now that's why these audits have continued and not gone away, because if we thought it was a fair election and he won, well, okay, I'd suck it up and you know, say, wow, the country is screwed up because we got so many lefties now that we maybe are going to turn into a communist state, and I guess we got to live with that. But that's not the case. If you stole the election and you fraudulently, criminally took and voted to, you know, with fraudulent ballots and Dominion software and, you know, data entry that was not legal or valid, and you figure that out and you can prove it, okay, now what? Now are these guys going to stand on the hill and die on the hill that that it doesn't matter, all that stuff?
When you look at the news media coverage of it right now, they're trying to turn around and already paint it as though it's just a bunch of right-wingers that are out there counting these ballots and that there's nothing to it. It's not bipartisan. There's nothing else going on.
Well, they're trying to do the exact same thing with Fauci. They're trying to do the exact same thing. Oh, Fauci was, you know, oh man, they did their best and they clearly didn't know what everything about it at the time and all this stupid crap when it's not working anymore because, you know, people have seen, you know, what's going on in their state, their county, their city. They've seen the theft of their rights. You know, I got a meme posted up here on my Facebook that basically says, you know, it shows Thomas Paine, give me liberty or give me death, unless there's a virus with a 99% recovery rate, in which case strip me of my freedoms, my job, my constitutional rights, and put me under house arrest. Now, you know, if that's a legitimate virus, it's one thing. Okay, if it's killing enough people to warrant, you know, the precautions, that's one thing. But when you are not going to have the death rates that they talked about, and then they pad all the numbers, and they lie about everything, they hide data, you know, at some point in time you go, hey, this is a freaking scam.
Can we just thank God that this virus was made in China and it's not as good as what they originally
were
thinking?
Well, I'm seeing some pretty scary crap where it could be worse than what we're seeing.
Well, because it could be long term.
That's what I'm saying. It might take a year or two for this to scramble your DNA. Because remember, this was set up, and if it's true, from China as a biological weapon.
Possibly. So I'm seeing that it's possibly that. It could have just been a lab leak also to where these guys
got
infected.
I mean, I'm not looking for that to happen. But if you don't pay attention, and if that doesn't scare the hell out of you.
But yeah, and what about the pregnant women? I'm just saying, you know, look at the long-term effect. We don't even know that they're injecting these pregnant women with this stuff and what's going to happen to the fetus, the baby years, or even when it's born or in development. I'm sorry.
Well, and this is a serious issue here. So I was seeing the actual article. I don't have it right now in front of me, but they were going through and they did a test. I think it was approximately 600 pregnant women that ended up getting the vaccine. I'm not sure if it was the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
But in that process, they went through, and the article was suggesting it's completely safe. Well, when you go through and you actually read the study, they said that, okay, so approximately 30% of the women that took the shot had a miscarriage.
Right.
And then you also had approximately 30% of the women who had preemies or small children or children with problems. So we're talking 60% of the women that ended up getting this thing, according to at least from what I had seen on that thing, had problems.
Right.
Well, that doesn't seem very safe or amounts of efficacy.
And that's short term. That's not long term.
Well, when the cure is worse than the disease, then why would you keep taking the cure?
Well, and this is the thing. We have Fauci, that's the guy that's out here going, you know, droplets, and we need to have masks, and two masks would probably work better than one mask. But here in his email, he goes, masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. A typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material, he said in one of the emails obtained by BuzzFeed News.
You got to say that with a Jewish accent. Because I call him Rat Face Fauci. I mean, the guy's a rat. I mean, he is a rat. When you dig about and look at everything that he said, how he's reversed his position time after time after time after time, he could have a debate with himself.
Well, let's think about over the last year, how many times just we've been berated, not to mention Facebook having redacted emails to Fauci back and forth about talking about what he can do to help, and then all the censorship that we saw over this past year.
Remember the
anytime you mention the fact that these particles are small enough to pass through that little face diaper you're wearing on your mask, you basically get banned or censored or get a fact check.
Hey, all you have to do is mention a word vaccine or fraud, and you're getting face. I mean, they're putting, they're slapping a thing on your Facebook deal, no matter what. And what, you know, remember the story of the boy that cried wolf?
Mm-hmm.
After a while, you just go, these guys are full of crap.
Well, and let's look at this one line. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material.
Now he turned into Vito Corleone.
Yeah, the hand ruined it. Like,
what's the matter for you?
These
what's
masks. The matter with
you? The droplets.
These masks, I never wanted them for you.
Take it to the mattresses.
Fauci sleeps with a fish. or is it he smells like a fish, you know?
Well,
I mean,
and it's interesting, too, because now basically you've got a whole bunch of scientists and a whole bunch of articles are like, yeah, we can't actually, we can't cover for this guy anymore. He's going to need to disappear. And so what they're probably going to end up doing is they're not going to fire him. They're just going to say, you know, in the best interest of society, we just decided that, you know, Fauci's going to need to move on to the private sector. So he's taking a job over here.
He's
we got this
island.
New guy over
no,
here.
No, no, now he's, like he's got a little Brooklyn thing going on.
Now we got Beto O'Rourke. He's stepping up into the medical profession,
like,
over here.
You know, this Fauci guy, you know.
Okay, Rocky.
Yeah, you know, how do you spell Del Rio?
Got a bridge in Brooklyn, so
there you go. Wow. I'm not even sure where we want to go.
Well, we could hit this one real quick. That whole Gavin Newsom raging and making false claims about
Newsom lying?
Yeah.
Again?
It surprises me every time I see it.
Only time he's not is when his mouth is shut.
Yeah.
No, he could be writing.
Well, that's good.
That's
the litmus test. How do you tell when a politician is lying?
He's speaking?
His lips are moving.
Yeah. Exactly.
What do you call a politician up to his neck in sand?
Start?
Not enough sand.
Hey, you know, this last week when they were trolling, you know, they were posting these jokes. This is the one that made me, you know, laugh out loud. Is what do you call a liberal who's whispering or blowing into another liberal's ear? a data transfer. Okay, we're not going to bash anybody. Let's move on.
And we got Jimmy on the
Jimmy's
line.
Jimmy's on the line.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, folks. How you guys doing? Great show.
We're doing good. What you got?
Real quick, I just want to throw this out. Do you guys ever watch Bannon's War Room?
You know, I've started to look at that, and I've looked at some of his articles, but, you know, we have so much information coming at us, and we all kind of have our favorites, so I haven't done much, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, but real quick, anybody out there, including you folks, watch Bannon's War Room episode 992, I believe it is, and he interviews a guy named Dr. Mike Yeadon, and he was a former VP and CSO allergy respiratory researcher for Pfizer.
Yep.
And this guy, he retired about 8 years ago, I believe, and he says Pfizer is nowhere near the place he used to work in. And he totally debunks all this stuff that we've been, you know, told by Fauci and everything about how contagious this disease is and how these vaccines are basically bogus. So,
and not to mention that, else? Jimmy, if it's the same guy that I'm thinking of, he actually also said that it could actually end up causing sterility and actually infertility is what he said. But
I'm not sure. His name is Mike Yeadon. He's an English guy, and he's a former VP CSOology guy from Pfizer. But, yeah, he was saying how if you're asymptomatic, you're really not going to spread it very much because if you're ill, you have all these viruses in your lungs and you're trying to fight it off, and that's when you people are really contagious. So it goes back to the old thing, you know, don't quarantine unless you're sick. And it's episode 992 of The War Room. If you guys want to watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I pulled it up. I've got it right here. It's 992, huh? That's The Walls Closed In, Dr. Fauci Indicted. What do we got here?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And, I'll listen to it later.
All right, guys. Okay, bye.
All right, cool. Thanks, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
Okay, so yeah, actually, in regards to that, he was the same person that said it could cause infertility in women.
Yeah, and with that, we'll go to a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
You ain't been around.
I mean, honestly, I would take that stutter over Joe Biden. And folks, you know, I had a cat the other day and then hairy legs.
Yeah. And I love roaches.
Oh, that little girl, the 9-year-old over there. She looks like she's 19, doesn't she?
I mean, it's like, whoa, Joe. I mean, he is slipping into darkness, man. I mean, that's really the deal.
Oh, and there's nothing grandfatherly about that. That's just sick.
Yeah. I mean, and okay, let's see. You're the president, and you're up there on stage, and you're supposed to be delivering, you know, meaningful, you know, inspiring words of wisdom that are being, you know, broadcast worldwide, and you're talking about the little girl and her barrettes and her cross legs. I mean, there's something seriously wrong with that
guy. Yeah, think.
Well, we already know what's wrong with him. But what's the thing is, does the media report that? The mainstream? That's why these guys are such morons out there. They're running around. You're all traitors. You know, they're ridiculous. They don't even know what a traitor is anymore. You know, everybody's a traitor. Well, you want to follow the Constitution, you traitor? I mean, it's like they're out of touch with freaking complete reality. You know, and because they're not seeing any of it. They have been so brain panned that they don't see that, you know,
they don't want to see.
They don't see Joe fall down the stairs. They don't see the hairy legs thing. They don't see, or if they don't want to see, then that's even worse. But some of them are so spoon-fed this pabulum of propaganda.
You know, black people don't have access to accountants or lawyers.
Lawyers, yeah.
What's up, man?
They can't use the internet. They don't know how to do that.
Did you happen to see that one?
That's all Joe Biden.
Did you see that one meme that was really funny when they were talking about that and they couldn't get to the internet? And they had this one black guy. He's sitting in his room and he's throwing his computer laptop around like a monkey in a cage. And he's acting exactly like a monkey. You know, I'm not saying this derogatory because he was the one making fun of it. You know, he's like, we can't. You know, it's like, you know, they're so screwed up that he's throwing his laptop around. He can't get on the internet.
He's like knocking it like it's some type of foreign.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, I've seen that one too. Yeah.
I mean,
how do you go?
How condescending?
Yeah.
And how freaking, you know, what's the word? Pompous ass.
You're not black if you don't vote for me.
Well, did you see that Candace Owens post that says, we learned that, you know, for Joe Biden that, I think I got it right here, if you don't vote for him, you're not black, and if you don't vote for Hillary, you're not a woman, and then if you vote Democrat in the next election, you're not very smart. I mean, and that's really it.
Yeah.
Because if all you do is get this propaganda, you know, mainlined into your frickin' brain pan, you're a moron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the truth, you know, and it's like, did you know that CNN lost like 70% of their viewership last week? They're fleeing in droves because even the idiots are starting to realize they're being lied to.
Well, it's basically, they've been lied to this entire time, and the only thing that was holding them together on this was the hate for Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump isn't anywhere around, and they're trying to manufacture stories about him so that they can turn around and do all this stuff. I mean, look at how many articles there are relating to Trump supposedly being reinstated in August. I don't believe a single one of them. I haven't seen him say it one way or the other.
No, I've seen some things.
And these guys are turning around and
I don't believe it either, but you know, if it happens,
thank God.
I'm gonna clap. I'm gonna be the first one to clap. You know, and I don't know. I mean, we are just way out into la la land. No matter how you slice the pie here, but
I don't know how we're coming back from all of these trillions upon trillions of dollars that we've printed.
Well, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You do exactly what Germany did after the big hyperinflation, and they didn't do this on purpose. They kind of did this accidentally because they got really, you know, PO'd at the guy who was running the show and running the press. Mm-hmm. And they canned him, and then they put another guy in who, through not, you know, brilliance or you know, being the most intelligent human being on the planet, as much as by accident, he says, let's stop printing currency. Mm-hmm. And they froze the currency level at a finite amount and didn't print any more. And that stabilized the economy.
Well, and you look at right now, we're looking to have another $6 trillion budget this year that they're trying to push through. I mean, goodness gracious. And then, of course, starting next month in July, they're planning on turning around and starting to send out for any kids between ages of 1 and 3, $300
well,
a month.
You know, it becomes a problem when it's $50 for a Snickers bar. You know, I mean, and that's when, you know, and we're climbing up into that. I mean, you're seeing $6 gas down in L.A. You know, we're climbing up into that.
Well, and here's what we're going to see, at least what I think. I think what we're going to see is they're going to say this is unsustainable in September when they end up having the unemployment benefits to get renewed, and they're going to say we're not going to do this anymore. Right now you've got close to around 30 million people who are on unemployment, and you got 7 million open jobs. You have a lot of these businesses which have already closed. I was at one yesterday that said business for sale. Over there in the flea market, it's the little restaurant in there. They said it's basically for sale. They're closing down. They don't have the help. They don't have the people that are coming through for traffic. So you have all these jobs that are then wiped out. Well, you've got...
When the unemployment ends, you're either going to hyperinflate or end it, and now there's going to be no jobs to come back to.
And you've got 23 million people that are out of work, and there's no jobs to go back to. What are they going to do? They're going to riot. They're going to froth at the mouth and... steal stuff. They're going to basically do what we've been seeing this entire time. And when you put that into perspective, you've got 11 million people in Arizona, so you basically have the equivalent of two entire states that are completely jobless. We have now reached inflation levels that haven't been as bad as 2008.
Here's where I disagree with you. The fact is there are still a bunch of people that are working that have enough common sense that never stopped working. There are a bunch of people that have been preparing for this inevitable event. And you're going to see those people protecting what they have, banding together against the people who are going to try to steal everything. And we're going to come out of it. But this is not going to be in the United States.
But you look at what the government under this administration is planning to do, and they're already setting us up.
Are you kidding me? Biden couldn't plan his way out of the room.
But this is the perfect setup.
Oh, you mean Obama?
This is a perfect setup, though, for the people to go back to manufacturing and doing the things that we've done in the past to make us
I don't think that this is going to turn out as awesome. Here's the thing. These guys that are trying to do this are not these big, omnipotent, smart guys that are so genius that, you know, they're Krang and they can do anything. I think that it's going to fall apart on their plan because, you know, and if you believe in God... Mm-hmm. There might be an intervention. Let's hope, you know, because that's all you can do, you know, at this point.
There might be. I mean, if you believe in God, there's also Revelation. There's that book that's in there.
Yeah,
and
but
so my concept on this,
I'm going to be saved, Dave.
Yeah. Well, let's go down the rabbit hole for a second for where I think this could go.
I'm just kind of throwing stones.
Okay. So we have the Unlimited Frontier bill they're putting forward, which is basically saying that, hey, your business, your private property, your patents. If those are important to us, we can use them because you're not fast enough at manufacturing.
Okay, let me come back with an example. Just like they said, we're going to ban your assault rifle, and everybody said, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what's going
to
happen.
But this is the thing. People got to be aware in order to stand
up. Well, they are. They are already becoming – they're waking up. You wouldn't have this recall movement. You wouldn't have this thing going across the board. I'm saying there's enough patriots. There's 80 million patriots. How many votes did Trump get? You know, there's 80 million patriots that are going to go, no.
But you look at where this is going and what they're allowing to happen. This administration, when all these hacks took place for that oil that affected
all
these
people. Well, they're hacking now. I just saw a thing on the chat room on a Facebook page that...
Well, find it and I'll finish this thought.
Well,
so,
go ahead. I'm just going to bring it up to show you that, or to inform you that
so,
something just got hacked. It says two hospitals in Florida were hacked.
Are they really hacked?
Yeah.
Well, so the Biden administration came out and said, well, this is a private matter. It's up to them to figure it out.
You mean that's what Jen Psaki said?
Same thing. But you have these people that are letting crimes happen, which is when the government's supposed to step in. And they're letting these places fail intentionally, in my opinion.
I agree.
And then what they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, you know what, you guys, this has gotten so bad, we have to have the government step in and start taking over these industries.
Kind of reminds me of the Revolutionary War when the Crown came in and started squashing all of the patriots in the United States continent and brought armies and stuff over and burned fields and had a slash and burn policy. And you know something? We came back. And just like we came back in the Civil War, we always come back because they can't kill it. You can't kill it. You can't wipe it out.
You can't take it away.
You can't take it away. And nobody who understands this is going to give it up willingly.
Yeah.
Yes. However, we also have an administration that's trying to go through and do these things.
The cup's half full.
They can try all they want, but there's some things.
No matter how much you say the cup is half empty, I'm going to keep saying the cup is half full.
And that's good. We need both sides.
That's right.
And so look at what happened over in South Africa. In South Africa, we're talking about 10 years ago, they started having this critical race theory.
Do we have to look at South Africa?
Yes, we do.
Okay, good.
Okay, they started talking about critical race theory. And there was a great thing.
They just passed that in the state of California, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah, and there was this great thing that Beck put together, a presentation on this. Everybody should go watch it because it's about 30 minutes long, and he showed how about 8 years before us, they started doing this. And then after that, they started pointing the fingers at the white farmers saying they're the problem. And so then people literally started going out and killed the white farmers.
Afterwards,
they went after any of the farmers. Because once the white farmers are gone, then you've got to deal with anybody else who is a power figure within that.
Right.
And so they end up killing off the rest of the farmers, right, regardless of race. And then there's a freaking famine.
Right.
Well, but there is a difference between there and here, and one is we do have a Second Amendment.
And that's the thing. That's why we got to protect it, because you've got these people like this lady that just spoke at Yale saying she wants to gleefully jump in her step and wash the blood of the white people off her hands. I mean, this is no different what we're seeing right here than what they had happen over there that turned into acts of violence.
Isn't that interesting that now they have become the racist?
Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting.
It
shows you how far that the human mind can get twisted from reality, or away from common sense and rational thought. You know, I mean, because how can you say you're against racism while attacking a certain race?
I mean, can you imagine going to that psychiatrist and being like, hey, I feel like I need to kill white people, and I just want to kill any one of them that I see and just bathe in their blood? Yeah, me too.
Here, I want to play a clip. Okay, let me pull it up.
Well,
here,
while you're pulling that up, I want to change the subject altogether for a minute. I want to talk about the dinner that we have coming on June 12th, because I got people in the chat room asking for this. We are doing the fundraiser dinner
for
the recall. It is going to be June 12th at the Anderson VFW Hall, which is located at 3210 West Center Street.
The doors are open at 4:30.
Yep, they are. Dinner will be at 6.
Thank you.
Also, if you have something you want to donate, an item or something for the fundraiser, you can get a hold of Lori at 691-1707. And if you want to attend, you might want to call her right away, because we may be sold out. So give her a call at 691-1707.
I'm going to go down there and wins me another gun. And I'm just saying that not because I think I'm going to win, because I like saying it.
Uh-huh. think you're going to win. We all know it.
I was standing up there like up there like the Indian on Dances with Wolves. Shimani Tutanka! Oh,
Wait, was that cultural appropriation? Canceled? Get out of here. How do you feel about that?
So, I want to play this.
I feel it was rigged.
I'm okay.
Are we set up to play a clip? So I want to set this clip up. This is a father and daughter, a black father and daughter, and they're talking about critical race theory. About a minute. So here we go.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't Daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow. Right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color
nice.
They are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See? This is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not going to happen. My baby's going to know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends. no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
Amen to that.
Daddy teaches you
so,
you can be.
So the point I want to make on this is this. I mean, that's a great clip.
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing that the left leaves out of the equation is it's not their fault. It's always someone else's fault if they're not successful. And he said it spot on. It's called hard work. If you want to be successful, you have to work hard. You can't, it's not going to be denied by somebody else. Somebody else is not going to take it away from you. You're going to take it away from yourself because you're not going to put in what it takes to be successful, which is showing up day after day after day and working towards a goal and being smart about things, learning a trade, learning a skill. It doesn't matter what color you are. I mean, what matters is your work ethic and how you treat other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see this. We actually have plenty of research that's already been done on this time and time again to where if you tell a kid they're stupid, they're going to be stupid.
Right.
And what they're telling all of these people who are all minorities, basically all minorities, they're telling you, you have been systematically made to where you will never achieve anything. And they're telling the white kid that you are a racist no matter what you can do.
Well, that's the problem. It depends.
So if they are getting this and they become what they are taught that they are,
right,
these kids are going to grow up and be racist.
It's like
and
this.
These kids are going to grow up and feel like they're being oppressed in
well,
every
that's
level.
Well, that's why you pull them out of that. You don't let them expose themselves to that. It's like my grandfather used to say, can't, never, did nothing. And the message there is, and I think Henry Ford, I believe it was, had a great quote where he said, if you say you can't, you won't. If you say you can, you will. So it's all up to you. Are you going to say I can't, or are you going to say I can? Because whatever you believe is what will be the outcome. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can, the outcome will be that you will. If you believe you can't. And that's why you have to instill that in young children, is that I can, not I can't. The words are so important that you have to understand whatever you say reflects into what you do. So if you say I can't, that means you don't, you stop.
You have to have the confidence.
Well, it's not just that. It stops you from moving on farther. If you say I can't, you don't have to think about how to be successful anymore. You don't have to think about how to do what you're doing and take a responsibility and make something happen. When you say, how can I, all of a sudden, that's when the process starts of being successful. Because you stop when you say I can't, and you start when you say I can.
Well, and here's the next thing on that, is I see too many people that are stuck in the bucket with the crabs. And so the analogy of the bucket with the crabs is that you are a crab, you're trying to climb out of the bucket, and every time you do, another crab reaches up and grabs your leg and pulls you back down. And then inevitably, you're the one that starts doing that to other people. You start pulling them down. I've now started 5 businesses. And in that time, every single time I tried to start a business, every single time somebody would come to me and go, that's not going to work.
It'll never work.
You know
how many times I've heard that? I'm 63 years old, and I've been in business my whole life. I started a worm farm when I was like 9, okay, with the help of my brother. And we, you know, and so I've heard that so many times, I don't even care anymore.
And that's the point. All these people that are telling you that, they've never done it themselves because they have had these same thoughts, but they keep never actually following through with them
and going down the line.
Or they've had the same thoughts, but again, if you don't have the conviction for it or believe it,
it becomes a mindset.
It's not going to happen.
It's a belief. It's a belief. And it's a cop out when you say, see, because it's a cop out to say, well, I can't do it, or I'm not capable, or I'm uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable, or
the only way, you know, do you know what Michael Jordan said? Is failure is the only way to success. Mm-hmm. If you are failing and not learning, and you're going to keep on failing, but failing is the teaching process for success. The difference is you never give up and you believe you will.
Yeah. When you look at the trap of our school system, they don't teach kids that failure is good. They don't teach kids that, hey, you messed up on this math equation, but you'll get it next time. They instead give a bad grade on that reflects back on the kid.
Everybody gets a good grade no matter what.
Well, that's the other side, and that's where I was going. Everybody gets a trophy no matter what.
But the thing about it is you still end up having the grading system that's there. Instead, what we need to do is we need to teach people to love failure. Because you look at Edison with the light bulb. He goes through and says, I didn't figure out how to build a light bulb without... I didn't fail 2,900 times.
I think I understand what you're saying, but I think you're saying it wrong.
Saying it like Joe Biden. Come on, man.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think you need to learn to hate failure and love success, but you don't stop at failure. You learn from it. Failure is no problem as long as you learn the lesson, but you don't want to enjoy failure as much as you want to learn the lesson. I think we're kind of thinking the same thing.
It doesn't make you a bad person or less of a person or anything if you fail
quickly. So like, for instance, when you're bringing when you're bringing a business to fruition, when you're trying to get it started, so many people try to make it all to where it's this big ordeal. It's this big thing that you got to have all your patents in order. You got to have this in order. You got to have that in order. You got to have a final finished product. Dude, beta test the freaking product on somebody. You turn around and you make a simple copy of the product. You give it to people and see what they say, and then you re-engineer it based upon the feedback you get.
See, what happens is a classic symptom of what you're talking about is that you know, failure is the road to success, but what happens is people get so afraid of failure that they do nothing. And you're better off doing something, even if you fail, and learning from it than freezing the process and doing nothing. And that's what most people do. When they say I can't, and they say that it's too hard or whatever they say, what that does is they stop trying. And with that stopping of trying, they're guaranteeing their failure. And that's the problem, is that I've always said I would rather experiment and fail than sit around and do nothing, because I'm going to learn from the experiment on how what to do right.
They told our founding fathers they wouldn't succeed. I'm just saying, if they gave up and they, you know, how long did it take them? How many tries did it take them to get the Constitution?
I guess there's a BOS.
Board of Supervisors on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Yes, there is. But
yeah. Yeah.
So the other thing on that is, don't listen to the people that say you can't. Don't listen to anyone who hasn't done it themselves.
You have to listen to what's in your heart.
And that goes for anything. That goes for politics. That goes for anything else. That goes for the media that tells you, don't do the investigations on this. We already did them for you.
Right.
Think for yourself. Don't listen to us. Don't take our advice. Go actually start looking at these things and do it.
You know, I think I'm going to move into a van down by the river and start doing motivational seminars.
Freaking do it, man. I'll bring the weed. We get you. The ganja over there.
First, you gotta find someone to talk to.
They have, you know, terms for people like that. Okay? I'm just saying.
Well, that's the funniest thing, too, is you see a lot of these people that have never actually made it in their lives who go on and they start becoming these motivational speakers to tell everybody else what they weren't willing to do in the first place.
Right.
And you end up getting a lot of this bad advice because these people are out there, you need to do this and you need to do this. Dude, a lot of it just gets to hard work. Look at Elon Musk. He couldn't make it in South Africa, moved to Canada, saw that they weren't free enough there to make it, moved to America, and started making his dreams come true. When he was with Tesla, they had every single media corporation out there saying Tesla was a failure and it's never going to be anything. Now it's bigger than all the other car companies combined, and he's building rockets to freaking Mars. I don't know what the benefit is, but you know what? It's freaking cool. He's Iron Man. All right, moving on.
But see, that's why I hate self-help books. Mm-hmm. Self-help books are some of the dumbest books ever made, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Depends on what, how you take them, how you read them, how you interpret them.
And who's
writing them helps them.
Okay,
and how receptive to, you know, I mean, because you could go to Abdul Muhammad's, a seminary for wealth and prosperity, and he'd be, his tagline is, give me all your money, everybody be happy.
Well, and that's the thing, that don't listen to somebody that hasn't actually done it. Don't listen to somebody
who hasn't succeeded. Hey, you remember the old Tom Vu?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Remember the old Tom Vu real estate commercials? Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Tom Vu. You like money? You like girls? I got lots of everything. You'll sign up my program? 50 grand. I got it all. You know, so you got to be careful who you're listening to. No question. But my philosophy has always been to find the best mentors, people who are mentors, not people who are, you know, even looking to teach you or, you know, profit off of it as much as that, you know, you choose a mentor to follow his examples, you know, and there's lots of them out there, you know, and you don't necessarily have to pay for it, other than with your time and energy and effort.
Well, this gets back to the thing about capitalism in general. People talk about how capitalism is so evil and it's so bad, but do you know what the best way to get rich in this country is? Help the most people.
That's exactly
the number number one thing of capitalism.
That was Henry Ford's big thing. He said, you know, how do I serve the most people with my brain? So he invented a Model T so that he could make it cheap, affordable. He's the one that came up with the assembly line so that he could serve more people at a lower price. And by doing that, you know, being an innovative and coming up with something that everybody needed, wanted, or got to have, transportation, he became one of the wealthiest guys that ever lived.
Look at Tesla now. It's basically 100 years, and he's at it again. Basically, it's Henry Ford then. It's Tesla now.
I agree.
His stuff is open source.
Sorry. You cut in, but they're going to cut us off.
Even he moved out of California.
Well, that's another story.
Good for him.
All righty then. Okay. If you don't know the truth, you're ignorant. And if you know the truth and you say nothing, you're evil. You were born an original, don't die copy. Remember, amateurs built the ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it's not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is the inner servant of the fourth world mouth.
And don't forget, on Tuesday, 9 a.m., Board of Supervisors, you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 a.m. and 96.5 FM.
Working with my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.